The Heat Doctor on Kerry Today. Brought to you in association with Boyles of Killorglan, the home of quality.
One of DCG Energy Solutions with us online. David, good morning to you. Thanks for joining us again this month.
Good morning, Jerry, and good morning to all the listeners on a rainy day.
Okay, listen, David, a couple of questions left over from last time, and anyone who wants to get their queries in, get them into us now. A listener asks, do solar panels need cleaning every year? One listener asks.
So, I suppose, yes, solar panels do need cleaning every year, I suppose, Jerry, is affected by the weather conditions, the location, the exposure to salt air and things like that, location, coastal locations. So every year mightn't be the correct statement, but I suppose it is something that should be assessed. I always say to people, it's like cleaning your windows. If you think of looking out your window every day and you see the outside of the window is dirty, well, then there's a good possibility the PV panels could be as dirty or may need cleaning. But then, Jerry, you know, that shower rain comes and it cleans everything naturally, but it may leave streaks on there. This can affect the efficiency of panels, but it's something I suppose homeowners should check into. Now, in saying that, I've had the question a lot of times and I've had the observation and you know, I'm not steady on my feet. I shouldn't go on the roof. I shouldn't be walking on the tiles. Absolutely stay away from the roof. Do not get on the roof. I don't want to be encouraging people to get up on the roof with a cloth or a rag or anything else like that. There is specialist companies out there. They have extension poles. They can do it all from the ground. It's soft brushes. It's specific chemicals. If indeed no chemicals can be used, with pH neutralizer for the water. And, you know, I would encourage people. Of course, there's the DIY situation once you're using the proper kits, which, of course, can be bought. We can all that you have to be something that you have to be careful with, Jerry. It's an electrical appliance. It's on your roof. It's exposed. And there's conditions underfoot which you have to be safe with.
Yeah, 100% that has to be done. That's for sure. David, an interesting one. While we're on solar panels, there was a story done in the Daily Mail in the UK, a column written about solar panels that went up in flames in Northamptonshire. Now, it turned out they went up in flames because of a faulty connector I suppose poor wiring that was put in place in that particular job. Could that happen here? It's going to happen anywhere, I'd imagine.
Of course, Jerry, and I suppose boldly I will claim or explain to people, you know, you get what you pay for in certain circumstances. I think proudly here in Ireland, and especially with companies we're working with and through DC Energy Solutions, etc., we can boast a high grade of safety and a high grade of quality of material. But also, I suppose, in Ireland, and I'm just going to speak from the Irish perspective, we have testing in process through Safe Electric and through our electrical installs, which provide paperwork for homeowners that they have to upload through the SEI website when they're complying with their grant application. So I suppose, you know, it's not like that receipt you get and you chuck in the corner. It's not like that warranty document that you filled in and you chuck it into a press. These are legal documents actually provided through Safe Electric and Safe Electric registered electricians who test the equipment, test the install, and I suppose before they install, test the house to make sure that it's compliant and within the parameters to have the installation installed. So I suppose, as I said boldly, I will say that, but I suppose to comment on a newspaper article, I suppose, you know, you can have a certain amount of scaremongering going on. But again, you know, some of the cheaper elements that are used out there, it's like buying a car, Jerry. You know, if you buy the cheap one, you get what you pay for. If you buy the dear one, you get what you pay for. In some circumstances, there can be lights coming on the dash. You just don't know. But I think once we have all the testing in place, all the paperwork that complies with the regulations, Safe Electric is a legal entity body governed by the CRU within Ireland. And I suppose that is one of the biggest things, is that you're using registered, qualified electricians, registered, qualified installers to make sure your installation meets the minimum standards and requirements.
Yeah. Okay, David, a caller has underfloor heating, has a heat pump, finds it costly for electricity. Is there anything she can do to bring costs down? Should she turn off the heat pump? Now, I'm not sure, is this because of the latest increases in electricity costs or not, David? But what are the options available to her, I guess?
Yeah, and I suppose this is quite common, Jerry, I suppose, in certain circumstances due to the increased cost in electricity and, I suppose, the increased running costs for our homes. So I hate hearing this. I hate hearing that someone is paying, is, you know, maybe not even to run a product or run their house efficiently or get the required minimum required comfort levels within houses. So, you know, I think the government has a lot to answer for there when it comes to maybe some cost incentives for decreasing the cost of electricity or some bonuses in the future. But anyway, we'll leave that to the politicians. Unfortunately, I suppose for that homeowner, if they have a heat pump and they're finding it expensive, then there is, you know, there's some things I would look at, and it may cost them a little bit more to do this, but it may be a massive saving in the end. One of them would be possibly, you know, is the insulation up to standard within the house? If it's a heat pump with underfloor heating, is it a modern house? You know, is there drafts? Is there sufficient attic insulation? Was this a retrofit that was installed? Did it meet the minimum standards? And is it a case of just having to upgrade more? Or again, going back to our previous questions and comments, Jerry, and that is solar install, generate your own electricity. You know, there's a situation where installing solar for that homeowner could save them ultimately in the annual expenses of the running of the system, but also earn them some credits with their supplier by getting credits back through the credit back scheme for solar generation. So it's not a direct and easy question to answer. I would not encourage turning the system off. I would encourage turning the thermostat down, especially this time of year, Jerry. You know, we're into a time where I suppose we've had almost 10-degree swings in some temperature days, and you know, 6 degrees or constant 4-degree swings. You know, take advantage of the solar game within the house, open up the curtains, you know, get that fresh air in, but making sure that if there's wind blowing, close the windows and doors to get the solar gain, keeping the heat generated within the house. Have a look at the settings on the system. When was it last serviced? And is the hot water being generated in the off-peak time? Is there off-peak times that can be taken advantage of? I think I mentioned Bill James Bellini continuously, but he does fantastic work when it comes to getting the best prices out there for listeners, and indeed the best systems, knowing what system you have in your house. So nighttime tariff or a split tariff system might be better for that homeowner. So, you know, it's an overall view of the house. It's not something that can be fixed immediately, but there may be some small things and small tweaks that can be made, which would definitely make it affordable to run, and I suppose cheaper in the future. If it's a thing that you're going to invest in something to help, then PV would be my strongest suggestion for that listener.
Yeah, okay. Another query coming into us here, David. Please ask the heat doctor. We have a Stanley stove and oil boiler for heating in our 4-bedroom bungalow. We're in our 70s, cannot afford air to water. We're thinking of switching to a pellet burner for heating. Our oil burner needs to be replaced. What's the advice on pellet burners, and what would be the best one you'd recommend? The stove caller.
Good morning to that caller. Yeah, this, I suppose, Jerry, is something we deal with on a day-by-day basis. And I think, you know, in the broader scale of things with the SEI and the funding that's put in place and the increased grants, and I suppose that's what I'm going to talk about for just a second with the heat pump grant that homeowner mentions they couldn't afford one. I mean, I definitely encourage them to get a survey done on the house. I'd be quite happy to recommend Killarney Mechanical Service, who will provide a free survey for them to ascertain as to what would be involved to install a heat pump, get an overall cost. And there's €8,500 of a grant towards that. So I suppose to break that down, Jerry, I think I've talked about it before. What the government have done here in regards to the SEI funding is trying to combat the over expenditure for installation of a wood pellet or an oil boiler, that the increased grant amount compensates for the extra cost for a heat pump. So that's a bit of a mouthful, but I think it's kind of self-explanatory, because, you know, the increased grant means that the install should cost the homeowner less. And I really encourage that homeowner to get a survey done on the house before they decide that they can't afford a heat pump, maybe, or that, you know, they don't think it's applicable for their house, because it could be very easily plug-and-play situation if their walls are insulated, etc. Now, a wood pellet stove or wood pellet boiler, absolutely fantastic system. Can operate at over 80% efficiency, etc. But the installed costs and the grant amounts would only be for the heating controls at €700. So that's where I'm saying what I'm saying about the comparative grants, Jerry, and the comparative installation costs. Yeah. It could cost as much to install a wood pellet stove as it could
to a heat pump. Yeah, so need to make sure that's not one or the other, that it's the same or less if you're going for the pellet burner, that you don't make that mistake.
And I think we also, Jerry, always say about, you know, the overall assessment on the house, you know, how good are the walls, how good is the attic, there's increased grant amounts for that. But also, I suppose, equally for this homeowner, and I suppose I'd say that broadly to people, you know, the warmer home scheme is a scheme that's provided through the SEI, which is a free insulation and free upgrade scheme for houses. They are installing heat pumps. They are installing windows and doors, wall insulation, attic insulation. I know what everyone's going to say. They've applied and are waiting a year. They're waiting a year and a half. I know the system has just been restarted again with a new list of registered installers on the system. So, you know, they are actively trying to get through these houses and through the customers that are can avail of this scheme. And if you log on to the SEI website, or indeed I can forward forms to anyone that wants them, they're can be emailed. There's a fill-in situation and send them off. I would encourage that homeowner that if they meet some of the eligible criteria within that, that they fill in an application form and get it sent off as well. There may be a situation where they could get some free upgrades to their house too.
The Heat Doctor on Kerry Today, brought to you in association with Boyles of Killorglan, the home of quality.
I want to David O'Sullivan of DC Energy Solutions. David, a couple of queries to get to here, but we want to get to our item as well, because a lot of people were asking. With this remarkable phenomenon a couple of weeks ago and the really intense hot weather, the 30 degree days in May, where people were seeing dampness in their house, hallways, floor tiles wet, they'd mop them, they'd come back, they'd be wet again, and all in the middle of incredible heat with doors and windows open. Summer condensation is what we're being told is what it is.
Yeah, I'd agree with that. I suppose if you think about the process of condensation, evaporation and moisture and things like that, it's a scientific process that I suppose we all learned at some stage in school. But yeah, rapid heating, I suppose, Jerry, is what I always said to someone, and I had that call myself and I was listening. Rapid heating can lead to condensation or indeed moisture levels, or I suppose the humidity levels within the air or within houses can increase, which creates this problem. I suppose if you think about hallways as well, there, Jerry, was mentioned, you know, a lot of hallways would have very little windows in them. So it's a darker area. It's an area where that condensation could build up, or moisture could build up on the floor. It's the joys of enjoying, I suppose, what was our couple of days of summer, hopefully so far this year, but we'll get more to come. But I guess what I encourage the people is ventilation here, you know, just natural ventilation, Jerry, of opening the windows and doors, getting fresh air into houses. Look, we're in the industry, we insulate houses and we insulate attics and, you know, increase our overall energy levels within houses. But ventilation is just so much of an element that I talk about so often, Jerry, and is key to homeowners. And natural ventilation is just as good as anything. Opening a window 3 times a day for 20 minutes a time, will get you enough ventilation. But yeah, that was one of those phenomenons that happened. And I suppose in warmer countries throughout the world, you have the likes of air conditioning units which can be installed in houses, and they start to prevent that humidity levels from building up in areas.
Okay, and that's another question that comes into us as well with regards to heating a house. David, I put in zoned heating this year, thanks to David's advice. What are upgrades would you recommend? I have an oil boiler, central heating, and a stove in the sitting room, asked Kieran.
Well, Kieran, good on you for installing the controls. And yes, absolutely, it's key with controls. Having the right controls means you're going to have the right level of efficiency within running any house, no matter what is heating it or what element is providing the heat to the house. But I suppose the question, or the answer is in the question there, Jerry. I think with the oil boiler and the back boiler, maybe that's the next process to think about. And I suppose I mentioned there a few minutes ago about the increased grant for heat pump installs to compensate for the overcost for installing a heat pump versus an oil boiler. But look, it's definitely a step in the right direction on the controls, but I think a heat pump might be for consideration next. And hopefully Kieran availed as well of the SEI grant funding that was there for that too, but it doesn't mean that there can't be more SEI grant funding availed of. And I think, you know, the heat pump install is probably the next step. I know you mentioned as well, Jerry, earlier about the increased cost of electricity. I suppose it's a knock-on effect from anything we enjoy when it comes to something being funded, is that some of our suppliers I'd like to think they're not taking advantage, and I do understand that infrastructure costs money, but then we have increases that creep in and us as end users are paying for that. But yeah, a heat pump might be next, and then possibly solar panels, but a technical assessment would be the starting point. A technical assessment would mean that it would inform us that we could give you the proper price and the proper installation and the proper size heat pump for your house.
Okay, David, also in the news today, I wonder what your view on this is, and people assessing what could happen with it, is the increased grant for electric vehicles in rural areas. It's a small fund, but relatively speaking, small fund, €10 million, €8,500 possibly off if you're buying an EV and scrapping an older car. But what about the questions this would prompt for people? And we talked about the infrastructure, the public chargers, but if you want to put in a home charger to try and take advantage of this, are home chargers now becoming, with the increase, even aside from this, in the number of electric cars that are being bought every month, no, they're not stripping the supply or the purchase of new diesel and petrol cars. So is a home charger becoming ever present in Irish homes, or will it be?
Yeah, I think that is a foregone conclusion, I think, Jerry, I suppose. And yes, absolutely welcome €10 million in funding towards EV cars. I'm I suppose I'm guilty myself of having to drive diesel vans and diesel jeeps for work, because that's what we have to do. But I suppose if there's a future here and we all have to engage in the future where EV cars are going to take over. And I suppose what I'm welcoming here, Jerry, is that 70%, I believe, is the number of funding is dedicated to the countryside and 30% to the cities. Finally, life outside the pale. But anyway, I think what we could see here, and I suppose what I want to encourage the homeowners, is if they are installing a home charger, if they are availing of this grant, and I hope they do, and I suppose from our experience, this 10 million euro, it's a pilot funding scheme. Any of the pilot funding schemes, if they're seen as things that are taken up, Jerry, they do become sort of something that will be in the future as an option for EV cars, that they may increase this as a permanent increase until we get to a certain level. There is a bit of a pessimistic view that, yesterday it was said that there's 160% increase in the uptake of EV cars. I suppose, why fund something that there's already a massive increase in, when you said it there, Jerry, that the infrastructure overall within the country is not adequate. And, people are stressing with our EV cars about making it a distance or making a trip or getting across the county bounds to another area, where their next charger is, how many of them are there. So I suppose that's something that needs to be dealt with too. But finally, I think here for homeowners and I suppose listeners, if you are thinking of availing this or indeed availing of any sort of EV car or hybrid plug-in charger, with car chargers, I would encourage homeowners, please, to make sure that they have a sufficient supply coming from the ESB, which is a minimum of 12 kVA. Most houses do at this stage, but I suppose it's still something that has to be assessed. Making sure that your house can have a home charger installed safely and that it's installed by a qualified registered electrician. Yeah. The last thing you want here, Jerry, is to spend that 30,000 on the car, avail of the 8,500, get to your house, open the fuse board and say, well, actually, this is non-compliant and we're looking at, maybe 3,000 or 4,000 or 5,000 euros of a cost in rewiring your house. Your grant is swallowed up. So I don't want that to happen to homeowners. But look, the infrastructure does need to be increased throughout the country. I could preach about that all day, but I think as a homeowner, we just need to make sure we can have one installed. It can be installed as part of a PV system and have a dedicated supply like that. There's a lot of options but avail of them.
Yeah, there is. Okay, David, listen, we're out of time, but thanks a million for answering those queries again. That's David O'Sullivan of DC Energy Solutions, the Heat Doctor. He'll be on with us again this time next month. Time for Thanks a Thousand.